So everyone's still good? Well, tonight we're going to have a little conversation about faith. Why not? Faith City Church, right? And my title for this message this evening, kind of funny, and it's called Get Out of the Boat. Coming from Steve, right? What else would you expect? So get out of the boat. And my text tonight is found in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 to 36. And so for the next 3.5 hours, we are going to do, a real deep in study. And some of your guys' eyes just opened up really wide when I said that. No. But we're going to have a little conversation tonight. We're going to look at this story. We've looked at it a few times before, but we're going to look at it from a little bit of a different angle. Let's see here. I got to ask a question. Have you ever done anything that's crazy, that's outside your comfort zone? Like, I mean, you went and done something absolutely nuts. Anybody ever done that? You totally stepped out and just done something. I see people laughing, but come on, any brave souls here? Yeah? Anyone brave enough to share what you did? You done something that... Because I've seen pictures of people at the CLE going on some crazy rides back there. You know, anyone, what else? Miss Joanne, what'd you do? Zip lining. Lord have mercy. You did it. Anyone else? Who else done something crazy? Wow. Y'all need to get a life. No. What'd you? Okay, Kelly, you done something. I see you laughing. What'd you do besides marry Nate? Giving strangers rides? That could be scary. Absolutely. Who else? Anyone else done something crazy? Right in the back. Swimming with sharks. Oh, yeah, that could be, yeah. Like, how big were these sharks? Did you see them? 14 footers. He's like, I can take them. Give you. All right, anybody else do something crazy? No? Come on, there's got to be some extreme people in here. Jerry walks like 500 miles a day. You know, that's pretty crazy. Anyone back there? No? Well, I got married. That's crazy. I had kids. All those things. Super crazy. Like, I've done some nutso things growing up. I mean, you see those morons that jump under snow machines and go across open water? I've done that. Don't recommend it. I've done it on purpose and by accident. Okay? You know, that's on purpose is fun. When it's by accident, that's no fun. You know? Let me see. I've gone zip lining before. That was fun. Anybody ever go skydiving in here? No? All right, Miss Grace, we're going to go. When is your birthday? No. I'm not a fan of heights at all. Like, I'm not a big fan of heights. I will get up on, I know a big thing for Pastor Dave is to get up on a ladder, you know? And if the man gets up over like 3.5 feet, things start shaking, right? You know, he's got a hard time being over 6 feet tall, you know? So, I mean, yeah, sometimes you do some crazy stuff. And in order to do something crazy, you know, you kind of got to build up the nerve and you got to step out in order to do it, you know? I remember a couple times when my parents are not, oh, there's my dad. Oh, hey, Pops. I'm going to tell on myself a little bit. You know, I done something really stupid one time and I got away with it. I ran from the cops to avoid a speeding ticket. Yay! And this was before I was married, still a teenager. Actually, I was visiting Kendra, and I was driving, and I was cruising, and I was going, hi, Mom. And, I mean, I was going really, really, really fast, very, very fast, and I was coming up on this line of traffic. And I got into this line of traffic, but I was still going very, very fast. And the cop was parked on the other side of the road. And thank God, there was a big line of traffic coming towards me. So he couldn't get out in time to pull me over, say. Okay? So, but he did flick his lights. And while he was waiting for traffic, I had two thoughts go through my head. Pull over and do the right thing. Or I could hear Vin Diesel in my ears. I live my life a quarter mile at a time. And buddy, The spirit of Fast and Furious came upon my foot, and I hammered down. And I took off like crazy. So at this point, I am committed. I'm going down. Now I'm like, you know what? I'm here. What do I do? You know, I'm a good little boy. I'm not supposed to be doing these things, right? So I'm taking off, and I'm driving, and now I'm white knuckling. I'm in the car by myself. And it was just like, you know, you see in the movies, like, woohoo, I'm doing it. And then I seen a turnoff for this road. And I'm like, I'm going to turn in here. So that's what I did. I turned in this road. I pulled down this little road. I tucked into someone's driveway, shut off my car, and ducked down. The cop went on past me. I waited 2 minutes, put my car in reverse, took off, went back on my merry way. 2 weeks later, he pulled me over. But he didn't say it was me that he was looking for, but he did get me. And he told me to slow down. You know, and Kendra was with me at that time, too. See, Kendra! Always Kendra, eh? But no, but he pulled me over. And that was probably the stupidest, craziest thing I've ever done that I'll admit to in church. And I don't recommend you do that. But, I don't know, that was a bad thing to do. That wasn't a good thing to do. But I stepped out and I done something that I shouldn't have done. But there's times in our lives when we need to step out and do some things that are good. You know, and sometimes it takes that, you know, that little bit of oomph that we need to get. You know, the time when I asked Kendra to marry me, that was an exciting moment, you know. But I was very, very nervous. And I'm sure a lot of you guys that are married in here, you understand, you know, when you got engaged, it was kind of nerve-wracking when you had to build up the nerve to ask your wife to marry you. Am I right, guys? Wasn't that a little? Or it's like, no, I got this, you know. No. I'm sure every one of you guys were sweating a little bit. Hey, PK, I know, were you nervous when you asked Miss Cindy? Very, yeah, still nervous to this day. You know, I know, I'll bet. What about you, Pastor Dave? A little bit? But five times. You know, yeah, you're a little nervous for sure. Well, these instances, we step out into the unknown. We really don't know what's happening. You know, when you think about a kid growing up and then, you know, all through high school, you're living home, everything is great, and then, you know, high school's done. Well, what are you going to do? You're a real person now. You know what I mean? You step out. Are you going to go to college? You're going to go to work? You're going to get a job? You know, you want to buy a car? You know, as you get older, it's all these things like, hey, am I going to buy a house? Am I going to move out? What am I going to do? So many unknowns. So many questions, you know? Any Indiana Jones fans in here? Anybody like Indiana Jones movies? I like Indiana Jones, all right? And in the 1986 film, The Last Crusade, there's a scene in there, and the scene is called The Leap of Faith, or The Step of Faith. And, I mean, it's a pretty cool scene. And I remember the first time I ever seen it, and I'm like, oh, so cool, you know? And the 100th time I've seen it, I'm still like, oh, it's so cool, you know? So the background of this story is that Indy has to go and help out his father who is sick and he's injured or something. He got to go rescue his father. And in order for him to get to him, he has to cross this massive chasm, this big space. So they're in this cave system, and he just comes to this little tiny ledge, and you look across, and there's an opening over there, but there's nothing in between. He has the instruction book, you know, that he's supposed to be following, the map, and it tells him that he is supposed to take a leap from the lion's head, you know? And so there's a statue or like a carving or something of a lion's head there. And he's trying to figure this out, and he's looking down. There's like nothing there. And, you know, the instruction book basically tells him, take the leap of faith. Well, I don't know about you, but in real life, if you're coming to a big space that you can't see, it's bad enough when you're walking into a room and you know there's like basement stairs and it's dark, and you're doing the whole, okay, there's a stair. You know, anybody know what I'm talking about? But here's Indy, and he came up to this, you know, and there was nothing there. But one part in this scene, what he does is, you know, he's trying to convince himself, okay, oh, I can't do this, I can't, oh, wait, I can't, I got to do it. And he's arguing with himself, and all of a sudden you see him, and he takes his deep breath, his chest comes out, and he's like, yep, I'm going to do it. And he closes his eyes, and he steps out, and he leans forward. And it looks like he's going to go flat on his face and fall into this big pit. But what happens is he takes the step out, And boom, he lands on the hidden pathway that's there. And then the look of, you know, relief on his face is overwhelming, you know. It's like, oh, it's there. But even though he's going to enter, he still can't see it. And he's still, the first couple steps, he's kind of like, you know, checking, because it looks like he's walking in midair. But as he continues walking and gets going, more confidence, and he starts putting his stuff in his back pockets and stuff, and he's all confident now. And he makes it across to the other side to be the hero and rescue his father and, you know, yay, great movie, right? But that step of faith, of stepping out into the unknown, can be super scary. In the Bible, we see an instance where this took place in Matthew chapter 14. Let's turn over in our Bibles and let's just look at that for a few moments. We'll start in verse 22. I'm sure we've heard this story before, but we're going to look at it some more. It said, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy seas or heavy waves. Anybody been out in a boat and it's been really rough? Either water come up or the storm come up? It's not a great feeling, you know? I've witnessed that and have been a part of that a few times, you know? So about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water, just randomly out for a stroll on the lake, you know? When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost! Oh, no!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I'm here." Then Peter called to him. Now, we're just going to camp out here for a second. Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." Now, I want to show you something here. Here's Peter, and a lot of time he gets a bit of a rough rap for this whole story. Because we see about Peter, in just a couple verses down, he starts to sink. Because, you know, he takes his eyes off of Jesus, and he starts focusing on the storm around him. But I want to show you something else. Where's the other 11? Why are they not screaming out here? "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come walking on the water." Where's the other 11? Peter actually had faith enough to be like, "Hey, Jesus, if this is you, I'm coming too." Right? But where's the other 11? "Oh my Lord, we're going to sink. It's a ghost. There's all types of crazy going on out here." You know? And Peter's like, "Hey, if that's really you, Jesus, I want to come too." What happened? Verse 29. "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over to the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. "Lord, that's you? All right, I'm in." You know, jumped over the boat, started walking, you know. But then something happened here. "But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. 'Save me, Lord,' he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. 'You have so little faith,' Jesus said. 'Why'd you doubt me?' When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. 'You really are the Son of God,' they exclaimed." All right. So now we see our text. Now let's kind of take this apart a little bit. All right? By the sounds of it, there's a storm brewing outside right now. All right. Let's take this apart just a little bit here. Now, we see here that Peter was the one that yelled out, "All right, if that's really you, tell me to come." And Jesus replied, "Yes, it's me." So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water. See, the first thing that happens here is that when we have faith in the Lord, you know, we're willing to step out. When you trust in the Lord, when he says it, that should settle it. Are you listening to me? When the word of God is spoken, or when we see it, And when it's telling us something, that's not a suggestion or a maybe, okay? But it's an absolute. So when Jesus told Peter to come walk, to come out with him, Peter, or Jesus wasn't just saying, yeah, just come out, and then it'd be like a big practical joke, and he'd fall in, and Jesus would point and laugh, you know? No, it was, yeah, come and join me. Peter was willing, right from the get-go, to get out of the boat, to jump out of the boat, while the other 11 were freaking out. And a lot of times, like, oh, Peter, you know, where's your faith? How many of you jumped out of the boat? Tried to walk on water. I was out in the boat last night. You know, I did not jump out of the boat to try walking on water. You know? As a matter of fact, you know, you don't want a lot of water coming on the inside of your boat. Right? That's not a good thing. Bad things happen. And you try to stay on the inside of the boat as much as possible. Because if you're cruising and you're on the outside of the boat, you got issues. All right? So I did. So here's Peter. And he's like, yeah, all right, I'm doing this. I'm going over. So Peter jumped over the side of the boat, walked towards Jesus. Now, this is where the story gets kind of interesting a little bit here. Okay? Peter, he trusted in Jesus so much that he could defy the laws of nature and walk on water during a storm. When we have faith in Jesus, it doesn't matter what emotions or feelings or what our reality is telling us, in their natural, but rather when we trust in the Lord and he's guiding us or he's telling us to do something or we're going through a storm ourselves, when we step out in faith, we are not ruled and reigned by our feelings. A lot of times we make decisions based on how we feel. Are you following me? Has anybody in this room ever made a decision based on how you feel? That's right. And sometimes it's not always the best decision, right? No, sometimes you get into some trouble. But if we make a decision based on what the Word of God says, you know, even though we're stepping off like Indiana Jones into the great unknown, or like Peter over the side of the boat, is that if Jesus told us to do it, we can do it. And you're going to be successful. Let me tell you, there's people in this room that God has been trying to get to you and talk to you and tell you some things, and you haven't necessarily been listening because of what's been going on around you. It's time to shush a little bit and see what he's saying and take that first step. Step out. But now, Steve, Pastor Steve, Peter sank. Yes, he did. Very good observation. He started to go down. He started to run it. Why? Because he started looking at the situation around him. But even though he stepped out of the boat, he had lots of faith. You know, he was built up, man. He knew what was going on. Oh, it's Jesus, man. If that's Jesus, I'm going to jump up. And that might be you in your storm. Or before you get into that storm, or before you take that leap of faith, you have all the scriptures memorized. You know, you've read every Hagen book, every Pastor Roma Fisher book. You know, you've read every book that's out there on faith and healing and all those things, and you face a storm, and all of a sudden you're starting to waver and have some issues, you know? Or you've read the Bible, and you've got all those scriptures in there that you know. And that's fine. Peter hung out with Jesus on a daily basis, and he still started to sink. You know? Think about that for a second. But here's the kicker. This is the cool thing here, is that even though Peter started to sink, he done something. What did he do? What did Scripture tell us that he did? Look back at our text here. Let's look at verse 29. Nope, sorry. Verse 30. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Right here. What did he say? I don't think he said it that way. Help. Save me, thou is Lord. No, how do you think he said that?
Save me, Lord.
It works a lot better when you guys actually interact here. All right, let's try this again. How do you think he said that?
Save me, Lord.
I think I have to go change my underwear now. I think if he'd done that, the Lord might have just turned his back and be like, you possessed? Nah. Save me, Lord, he shouted. And I'm sure it wasn't no quiet, you know. Oh, save me, Lord. You know? Well, we're in church. We got our righteous indignation all up here, right? Save me, Father. No. Lord, save me! And then what does it say? What did Jesus do? Jesus what? Immediately. There was no hesitation. There was no thinking about it. Yeah, am I going to save him? He hasn't learned his lesson yet. You know? I'm just going to let him get a little bit more wet. You know? He's getting baptized all in one, so it's fine. It's fine. No. What did Jesus do? Soon as Peter cried out, Jesus reached out, grabbed him. Now, here's the thing. Is that Peter jumped out of the boat, walked out in faith, trusted it, what the Lord had said, that Jesus told him, come on, let's go for a walk. Peter jumped out, woohoo, let's go. Oh, my Lord, I'm walking on water and it's stormy. My sandals are getting wet, you know. And then I'm stinking. And then, as you guys would put it, Lord, save me. No. Lord, save me. And then immediately Jesus grabbed them, ripped them up out of that. And you know what they did? Jesus didn't pick them up and carry them. Jesus didn't pick them up, you know, threw them under his arm or, you know, swam with them and done the doggy paddle. They walked back to the boat. So Peter went for a little dip, got up, and went walking again on the water. Because now he was focused on Jesus. I'd be focused on Jesus a little bit harder now too. All right? Because I'm walking on water, I sink. I focus back on Jesus, he lifts me up. You know, I'm walking on water. Then they climb into the boat. And you know what happens when they climb into the boat? The wind stopped. The storm was still. You see, it doesn't always work out the way that we initially think it's going to work out. We have our own ideas sometimes. We have our own plans. But you see, when you allow Jesus to take control and we focus on him and we look to him, let me tell you something. Miracles, signs, and wonders start happening. And we start seeing cool things happen in our lives. So instead of hiding in the boat like the 11, we need to be ready, willing, and able to jump out of the boat, step into the unknown, and see what's next for us. Like I had said earlier, there's many people right now, you're actually being hindered or you've buffeted yourself because you're not willing to jump out yet. You know? Sometimes you just got to do it. I'm not a big fan of actually like doing diving off diving boards or jumping off high things into water. I know some people are. I've seen some people really do some cool backflips and things like that. I am not designed for that. Okay? You know? I'm more of a lazy river in a large inner tube type guy. All right? But I know some people, they are very, you know, they'll just walk up to the edge. My kids are like that. They'll just walk up to the edge and they'll just jump. Anybody else in here like that? Jump in the water? Pastor Ken, I know you're a fish. You're pretty good. I've seen Nathan King do backflips before, you know. Anyone else? Jerry, what about you? Somersaults? You, no? You know, some of you people, Miss Deb, are you a, can you jump in? You can jump in? Like for me, I have to, yeah. I got this. I'm the type of person that I need some coaching. You know, I need someone or a push, you know. And when it comes to that, I'm just not a fan of jumping in there and, you know, smacking my face off the water, you know. But once I get into it and get going, it's okay once you get used to it. But that initial first jump off high, it's like, I remember I brought my kids to the complex, and here's my kids jumping off, like, the diving boards and the platforms. And I'm like, I'm just going to stay here in the kiddie pool, you know. It's all good. Don't drown. Daddy can't get you, you know. Thank God for lifeguards. But I get all flustered and I get myself worked up and it's like, oh, I'm going to jump. No, I'm not. Oh, I'm going to jump. No, no, no. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. No, no, no. And then it's like, oh, okay, I'm going to do it. And then I jump and two things go through my mind. It's like, oh, man, I can't believe I just did this. And then the next thought is, this water's cold. You know? You know? And so when you do that, you take that step, it does something to you. At first, it might not seem right or natural. And it's kind of going against your emotions and your feelings. But thank God we go against our emotions and our feelings a lot of times, because that would hold us back from a lot of stuff. That would hold us back from going and applying for that job, or going out and, you know, asking that person to marry you, or, you know, different things like that. Taking on different responsibilities, or trying something new. Or even, you know, putting off the bad day and trying putting on the new, a good day. I mean, we get to make up our decisions. We get to make up our minds on, you know, what am I going to do next? What am I going to do next? But if we continue to have ourselves hindered and afraid to step out, we're going to miss out. The Bible tells us that the Lord's got a lot of good things in store for us. And the Bible talks about how, you know, he's going to supply all of our needs, and he's going to take care of us, and that, you know, he's a good, good father, that he has healing for us, and, you know, all those spiritual blessings and all those things in store for me and you. I don't know about you, but I want those things. The first step is, as Peter cried out and say, Lord, save me, is that we need salvation as well too, right? And that's the thing, is salvation is very important. Accepting Jesus as our Lord and personal Savior, you know, that's a big faith step right there. A lot of people have issues with that sometimes. That's a little tough, you know. But we need to help people make that easier for them. We need to be encouraging people to take that step. And then as we mature and we grow up more spiritually and we become more mature Christians, you know, we start seeing and understanding the things that God has in store for me and you. And that when tough times and trials and situations come, that we're able to, you know, step out of the boat and trust in the Lord that, you know, yeah, we can get out and we're going to face this storm. But even if you start getting a little wet, maybe even sinking a little bit, we have the wits about us to cry out to the right person who's going to rescue us. Right? If you're out on Lake Superior and you got an issue, who are you going to call? Ghostbusters. No. You're going to call the Coast Guard. Right? You're going to call for help. You know, if you're on the land here at your house and you got an issue going on, someone's trying to break in, who are you going to call? Pastor Ken. No, he'll pray for you. No, call 911. You know, they'll come and rescue you. If the old devil's trying to torment you and is bugging you, who are you going to call? I was going to say Pastor Roma, but okay, Jesus works. Yeah? Yeah, we'll call Jesus. And here's something interesting, too. Matthew, I believe it's Matthew 4. Matthew 4, 4. Is that the scripture verse I have there, Kelsey? Matthew 4, chapter 1. Or no, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Sorry. Now look at this here. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. Oh. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. Dude, I go 40 minutes, I'm in trouble. All right, there we go. During that time, the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, no. The scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone. But let's all say this together. But by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So if the word of God says it, that settles it. I believe it. And I'm going to walk that out. I'm going to live in that. Feeling-wise, might not always feel so easy to do that when you're not feeling so well and you're homesick in the bed. Or you go look at your bank account and it's laughing at you. You know, that's no fun either. Or if you've got some relationship issues. Or you're having some problems at work. I mean, life happens, right? I'm sure we've all experienced life. You know, we've had some situation that has popped up. So what are you going to do about it? You going to sit there and just, you know, take whatever life throws at you? Jesus was tempted. He went through some tough times here. Can you imagine 40 days, 40 nights fasting? And then you got the devil that's like hounding you constantly? You know? I mean, Jesus went through some stuff as well. Let me tell you that. But look at his response. People do not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. If you want life in real life, We hang on to what the Word of God says because that's what's going to get us through. That's more important than the next breath that we breathe, believe it or not. Because that's where, you know, our blessing comes from. That's where the prosperity comes from. That's where divine health and healing comes from. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." Good plans. With a promise. Give you a good life. Right? That's what God wants. So if the Word of God says that He's got good things in store for me, guess what? That means He has good things in store for me. So if that means I got to jump over the side of the boat to go after them, I'm going to jump over the side of the boat and go get them. You know? Peter jumped over the side of the boat. The other 11, not so much. But then after the fact, look at this. Because you might be the one to jump out of the boat. Let's go all the way back to our text, Kels. And here's what the disciples did after the fact when they seen everything take place. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. Peter was exclaiming, "You are the Son of God now. I know that. That's why I'm jumping over the side of the boat." But after these sissies seen what took place and won't get out of the boat, and then Jesus is like, where's your faith? "Oh, Lord, you're so awesome." You know? The Bible puts it very politely, you know? And the disciples worshiped him. Well, Jesus rebuked them and was like, "Where was your faith?" And I'm sure what their response was, "Lord, we're so sorry. We're so dumb. We should have just listened. We've seen you feed thousands of people. We've seen your miracles. We should have just listened." Peter's like, "I listened." "I jumped out. I was the first one out. Y'all just a bunch of nerds, you know?" But Peter did it. Peter stepped out. Looks like we might be walking on water tonight. So, when it comes to our next step, sometimes we got to do it a little bit blindly. We might not see it. We might not know what's next. We might not know what's actually on the other side of the boat, but God does. And if He told you to come, if He told you to step out, what could go wrong? You know? Your mind, things could be crazy. But His path, it's exciting. You know? As crazy as zip lining is, you know, it's pretty cool. As crazy as swimming with sharks is, that's still pretty crazy. But it's pretty cool, you know? Doing some crazy things like that. Can you imagine how much more better it's going to be when Jesus is guiding you? When Jesus is walking hand in hand? You know, Peter walked on water. What are you going to do? Where are you going to go? What are you going to see happen? Miracle signs and wonders follow. Right? I mean, that's something to get excited about right there. Is that we got get out of the boat type of faith. Be the first one out. Don't be waiting for someone else to drag you out. Don't be like the other 11 and be, you know, late to the party. Show up. Be there. Be the one that's early. Be excited. See what God is doing. Yeah, you might get a little wet. You might start drowning just a little bit when you focus on the wrong things. And we all end up doing that at one point in time and another. No one is perfect. Scripture tells us all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's a relief. You know, it's good to know that we've all, you know, we're not perfect. But it's also good to know that as soon as we cry out to Jesus, He doesn't hesitate. He's not late. He doesn't think about it. "Oh, that's sin, and I don't know if I can help her out." No. He's like, "I'm there. I'm on it." He's going to grab you. Pick you up, turn you around. "Set your feet on solid ground." That's a song, we sing that. You know? He's going to pick you up. And He's going to walk with you hand in hand through that storm. And you know what's going to happen? When they climb back into the boat, that storm stopped. The crazy around with Jesus, Jesus calms a storm. And He calms more than one storm. He calms them all, if you allow Him to. Amen? Well, that's a little bit exciting. Now, guys, I just feel in my spirit right now, I had a little bit changed, but I don't know if you've noticed or if you've been following online a little bit, but there's some really bad fires happening up north.
And just before service, they declared, they got everyone on alert up in Yellowknife right now for evacuation. The fires are getting pretty bad. And I just got a click in my spirit there then that we need to pray. Is that okay? Can we do that as a church? I just really feel we need to pray for Hay River, for Yellowknife. There's a couple other communities up there. Inuvik, actually we got family up there in Inuvik, and they're on alert up there as well in the surrounding area. So let's everyone just stand up. I just got that, they're just really strong on the inside. Whoever you're watching from, let's just pray right now. Pray for protection. Let's pray for resources. Pray for rain. Amen. Father God, you're an awesome God. And Lord, we just thank you right now that you've created a way where there is no way. And Father God, you're with us, you're holding our hand, and you're walking us through storms and situations. And Father God, we pray for the people of the Northwest Territories and Alberta. And you see the fights that's going on up there with the fire. And Lord, I thank you right now that you are giving them the strength and the energy and the tools and whatever they need to be successful, Father. Lord, we pray for an edge of protection around everybody that's up there working those fires right now. And every homeowner and person that's up there, Lord, we thank you that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. We thank you that you're protecting their lives right now. Lord, we thank you that you're just intervening on their behalf. And we're going to hear about good testimonies and praise reports, Father. And Lord, we're just praying for the weather to change up there. Lord, so that things get a little damp up there. Lord, we thank you that the wind is going to calm down if it's crazy wind. Water is going to come in. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we pray for all the aircraft that they're going to work well that's fighting the fires, Lord. All the firefighters with their equipment, Father, their tanks and trucks and whatever they're using, Father, their pumps and all those things. Lord, I just pray that it's all working well. Father, we thank you for resources going in there right now. Father, we just thank you that we're going to have the victory in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that no lives will be lost, that no harm will come to anybody in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, we just thank you. Come on, let's just give him the praise and the glory right now. Let's just thank him. Let's just thank him. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, Father, you're so good. Lord, we just thank you right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're so, so good. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Woo! Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Woo! Sometimes it's good to do that. No, I just really had a strong impression right then. It just hit me like a ton of bricks that we had to pray. You know, that's good when that happens. Hallelujah. And you know, when people come together in agreement, things happen. You know, we stepped out in faith. We're believing. And I believe that we're going to see some cool things happen up there. Amen. Literally, it's going to cool down up there. You know, it's going to rain up there. But guys, keep in mind what we just talked about for a few minutes here. Is that get out of the boat type of faith. Your next situation, or you might be going through a storm right now. Be willing to jump out and see what Jesus is doing. He's right there with you. Yeah, you might look around at the storm for a brief moment, but as soon as you cry out for his help, he's right there to grab you and walk you, be with you. He's not going to leave you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're in this place and you need to make sure that you and Jesus are tight, make sure that you guys, everything is good, you want to make sure that you've got that relationship. You need to cry out that simple prayer that Peter cried out, Lord, save me. If you need Jesus, if you're watching online, if you need Jesus or you're in this room, you may need Jesus in your life to be your Lord and Savior to help you through these tough times. All you got to do is just say a simple prayer. All you got to say is, Jesus, I give you my life. Come into my heart. Be my Savior. I choose you. If you're in this place today, you need to do that same thing. You just pray that simple prayer. The Lord is good. And he has good plans, good purposes. So jump out of the boat. See what he's got in store for you. Yeah, the first step might be a bit of a doozy. But he's going to be with you every step of the way. Father God, I just thank you for tonight. And I thank you for each person that's here.
And Lord, if there's anybody struggling with going through storms or feeling inadequate or whatever they're going through, Lord, Father, I just pray right now, you're just going to minister to them. You're going to be with them. Lord, you're going to help them, guide them, that when they jump out in faith, step out in faith into the unknown, they'll feel you. And even if they do take their eyes off of you, just for that moment, you're right there to get them back on track. Father, we commit ourselves over to you 100% again tonight. Have your way in our lives. Father, we thank you for what you're doing here at the church. Father, we thank you that you're protecting everybody that's a part of this place. And we thank you again for a praise report coming out of the north. And Lord, we thank you that you're doing what needs to be done. In Jesus' mighty name, and everyone shout it.
Amen,
amen, amen, amen.